Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
And we're back here in a bonus edition of the Last Round Podcast. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm Danny Z with my co-host Michael Shepherd. Some of you may be listening to this right after our last episode with the IBO president. We're actually doing double interviews today. I don't think it's been a long time since we did double interviews, right, Mike, on the same day?
Since probably we did an event, I'd have thought. We actually went to an event and did multiple.
Right. You're right. But once again, thank you guys for listening, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Boxing Social, YouTube, or you're watching this broadcast on YouTube, for example. We appreciate it. But once again, we got another special guest. He's actually quarantined in the hotel in Las Vegas at this particular moment. As of this recording, he's in the hotel right now. He's fighting this Thursday on the Top Rank card. The Top Rank card this Tuesday, I believe, and then also this Thursday. Adam Blue Nose Lopez joins us this week. How's it going, Adam?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us. As we said, you know, right before you came on, Mike was just like, he was like, I don't know whether to call him Blue Nose or Glendale Gotti, like Evan Korn called you. Are you going to change your nickname or what?
I don't know. That was a cool little name, but I think Blue Nose is definitely my name. But hey, some people got two nicknames. Glendale Gotti sounds pretty good.
That's cool. But, you know, and then also, like we mentioned, like I just touched on, you're in Las Vegas. You know, you got your fight coming up this week for Top Rank. Also, what a lot of people want to know, how was the stick up your nose for this COVID testing stuff?
So I've been tested twice. I got tested about a week ago. They had to put the Q-tip up my nose, and it was not fun. It hurts. And it feels like it's up your nose for like 10 minutes. Like even after they take it out, it feels like it's still up there. But right now they're doing the test and it's a cotton swab down your throat. So it's not too bad, but I just took the test and they said I can't leave my room till I get the results, which is till tomorrow.
Right.
How are things in the Top Rank camp after obviously the news broke today that Michaela Mayer tested positive?
Yeah. I think everyone was shocked because only her, she's the only one who tested positive. Her camp tested negative. So they're a little shocked. But you know, they're not too worried. They took her out of the hotel. She had to go stay somewhere else and stay away from all the fighters in the camps. But yeah, everything seems fine right now. Everyone's in their rooms. Everyone's just following the rules. You know, it's just pretty quiet and mellow over here right now.
So how many times are you supposed to get tested? Is there like a set amount or is it just kind of at their discretion?
So as soon as you get here, you're supposed to get tested. So they said, once you get tested, you got to go to your room and you can't go nowhere. And the testing is between 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. So you got to go whenever you decide. I got here around 1 o'clock. So they're like, look, you can't get tested till 3. So as of right now, you're kind of on your own. You can go out and go eat if you want, go hang out downstairs. So I went down, I had lunch with my coach and I ordered dinner to go. So I got my dinner because now that I got tested, I can't leave. But I had dinner, came back up, got tested. Now I'm in my room till tomorrow. So I'll probably get like a little workout in my hotel room or something. Just stay busy, watch some movies and read a book or something. I don't know.
Are you just glad that like, you know, you got fighting back, you know, that you can go back in a ring now? Because I mean, for a long time, we didn't know when boxing was going to come back. Are you just glad that you got something now?
I'm happy they got me in on the you know, first few shows. I was supposed to fight April 11th and then the quarantine hit with the COVID and everything, so then that fight got scratched. So I took maybe 4 or 5 weeks off, stayed home, rested, but during those times I was still at home working out, going for runs and such. And then I just started getting back in the gym because I started hearing, you know, oh, fights might start coming back on. I was like, man, I better get ready because they might just give me 4 weeks for a fight. And that's kind of how it happened. I started training about 2 weeks, and then they gave me the phone call. They're like, okay, you can Adam be ready in 4 weeks? And I said, no problem. That's what I got ready for.
So, Adam, you're back Thursday, June 11th, against Luis Correa. What's this, the second or third time you're supposed to fight him?
Third time we're supposed to fight him.
So what's going on there? Like, for, I mean, kind of piggybacking off of Mike's question right there, like, for the listeners who don't know, how come it's taken three times for you to fight him?
So the first time we were supposed to fight November 30th last year, it was set. You know, we both weighed in. We both made weight. We did the face-off. 10 minutes later, Oscar Valdez's opponent came in 11 pounds heavy, and they came up to me and said, would Adam want to step up to the main event and take on Oscar Valdez? And I told my coach, I was like, yo, I could beat Oscar. I was like, I'd take that fight. And he said, all right, let your managers talk it over with Top Rank, and let's go get some food and just keep moving. And I was like, all right. And then they negotiated, you know, they got the numbers up. They did what they had to do, and took the fight right then and there the day before. So Louis, he went home, or he stayed for the fight. I'm sure, I think he watched the fight, and then we were supposed to fight again in April. Coronavirus hit, got scratched. So now this is the third time we're trying to set this fight up. So hopefully, you know, nothing goes wrong. Both of our tests come back negative, and we can get this show, we get the show going.
So I'm sure you know Louis obviously pretty well after, you know, the third time you're supposed to fight him. And he also trains at Robert Garcia's gym in Riverside, which isn't too far away from obviously where you train in Southern California.
Yeah. He's local. He's about an hour and a half away from me. I'm surprised. I've never heard of him or seen him in any gym coming up as an amateur show. We never crossed paths. So, I just learned who he was prior to my fight against Oscar. They told me, yeah, he's a tough kid, trains with Robert Garcia. I said, okay, you know, he comes from a good camp. He's going to come ready. He's going to come hungry. This is his biggest test yet, so he's going to want to take full advantage of it. After my last fight, I understand now that I'm a marked man, that people want the spot that I'm in. That fight put me on the map, and, you know, he wants my spot. So I got to shut it down, and I got to go out there and shine Thursday and, you know, do my thing, do what I usually do.
You know, speaking of, you know, that fight putting you on the map with Oscar Valdez last November, Adam, you know, obviously, you know, the day before you thought you were going to face another guy, mm-hmm. and you end up facing Oscar Valdez, a world champion, in the main event of that card. And for a lot of people who don't remember, obviously, you actually dropped him in the second round of that fight. And then it was stopped, I believe, in the seventh round, but a lot of people viewed it as controversial. And a lot of people, especially, you know, I don't know how much weight you want to put on, like, boxing, social media, Twitter, stuff like that. But in terms of, like, the fans watching you, who at least voiced their opinions on online stuff, you got a lot of respect from people. You know, there's a lot of people who say that you didn't really lose, like, you know, because of how you performed. And I believe Andre Ward at that time even, I don't know if he told you or he said it on the broadcast, but he even said that he was like, no, man, you're not a loser. Like, you didn't lose today. He gave you a lot of respect for how you performed. You know, can you just kind of touch on that fight, but mostly on, like, that stoppage in the seventh round for people who haven't heard your side of the story?
Yeah. I felt like I was up on the cards the whole fight. I felt like I won every round. Maybe he won the first round. And then I dropped him in the second. I started getting in my groove. I was taking over. And then he caught me with a big shot. He did hurt me with a big left hook, put me down. I got up. It was a little cloudy. I was a little disoriented at the time. But he dropped me. I think there was still a minute and a half to 2 minutes left in the round. And I weathered the storm. He was going all out. He was throwing punches. I was moving, dipping my head, blocking, just getting on my defense, touching them in between just to keep them off me. And then there was 7 seconds left. I think he threw like 5-6 punches, and I think he landed maybe one or two. I kind of rolled, blocked a few. He landed the last one, and then the ref just jumped in with 7 seconds left and stopped it. And I was kind of shocked because that's when I started feeling clear. That's when I started getting back to my senses. I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm recovered now. I'm going to just finish this round. I heard the 10-second clap. I'm like, once I get through this round, I get back to my corner, get some ice on my back, some water. I'm going to get right back to business. And then ref stepped in, stopped it, and I already knew what it was. You know, I wasn't supposed to be in that fight. I wasn't supposed to win that fight. The ox were supposed to walk through me. So they saw the opportunity and they jumped on it. They ended the fight. Very controversial. It's boxing, you know. Can't go back in time. I got to take it for what it is. It was a great learning experience, great exposure, and they put me on the map.
Do you think we'll see a rematch? Because I saw you recently got into a bit of a Twitter beef with the Espinoza boxing team.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't think they'll give it to me unless I really unless I really pressure them for it. I don't think it'll happen. I don't see why he would want to fight me again. It's a high risk and low reward for him. I'm still on the come up. That was probably my biggest fight. I think the only way I'd get that fight is once I win a belt to 126, move up to 130, and get ranked in the 130-pound division. But by that time, who knows where Oscar Valdez will be at. That might be a year or two down the line. I could keep putting the pressure on his team and, you know, asking for it, but he doesn't need me. I mean, I'm sure he's getting a lot of bad comments on the fight, telling, I mean, people are saying rematch the kid, he deserves it, but I can't see it happening. I would love for it, but I know how this business goes, and I don't think I'll get that end of the stick.
So go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so Bruce Trampler is the match.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's all right. Go ahead, Mike.
What was that?
So Bruce Trampler makes the fights for Top Rank, right?
Brad Goodman, I believe.
So what?
Yeah, I think it's Goodman.
It's Goodman. So what have you done to piss him off? Because Oscar Valdez, Stephen Fulton, and I think 10 undefeated fighters in your first 15 fights.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I just signed with Top Rank in the end of 2018. So they just started working with me prior to all the undefeated fighters. That was me trying to prove a point. You know, I had a manager at the time, my former manager. He had me on a lot of Al Haymon shows, but I was not signed with nobody. I was, you know, unsigned. So I was always on the B side. But going into the professionals, I always knew that was the route I wanted to take. I wanted to take on these undefeated fighters because I saw all these undefeated fighters and I looked at their box rec and they're fighting nobodies. You know, they're paper champs. They ain't got no tough fights on their record. And I was like, man, this is not how boxing should be. Like, I want to go after these kids. I want these tough fights. So I told my manager, I was like, let's line them up. Let's push for these undefeated fighters. I need to make some noise because I didn't have a big amateur background. I had 35 amateur fights. I didn't win any amateur tournaments. I knew if I wanted to do anything in the pros and to make money and to get eyes on me, I had to make some noise. So that was the route I chose. And I think it was 6 undefeated fighters in almost a year. And I was beating all of them. And then I came across Stephen Fulton. And yeah, he was a better man that night. Much respect to Stephen. He's a great champion. And then from there, I had to rebuild. I think I fought another undefeated fighter after Stephen. I won that fight and just worked my way back up. And then boxing business, I started learning more about the business side, about the B side, the A side, and this and that. And I realized that I needed a promoter. And I reached out to my coach buddy and I said, what's up? Like, I need to get a promoter, buddy. Like, what do I got to do? So he reached out to Top Rank and he gave Carl Moretti a phone call. And he said, hey, Carl, I got a kid. You need to sign him. He said, Carl, when have I ever told you about any kid that you need to sign? And Carl said, nobody. I said, okay, this is the one. You need to sign this kid. So they gave me a tryout fight. They gave me a tough little fight against this kid, Hector Ambriz. And that was back in 2018. And then I shined in that fight. And then a couple of days later, they offered me a contract.
Do you think it's because you come from a fighting family? Obviously, your dad, Hector Lopez, former Olympic silver medalist for Mexico, two-time world title challenger, and then also your brother's a fighter. Do you think where that kind of like old school mentality comes from?
Definitely. You know, I got my father's blood running through my veins, and that's what he was about. He was about fighting anybody, anywhere. He didn't care who it was, as long as, you know, you made weight, you got two hands, we could make the fight happen.
Well, he had some fights, Randall Bailey, Costa Zoo.
So yeah, he fought. He didn't turn down nobody. He was ready for anything.
Yeah, he was. You know, you touched on Buddy McGirt, obviously, for our listeners who didn't catch that. But Buddy McGirt is your trainer, and obviously he went to bat for you and talking to Top Rank and helped you get signed by them, which is awesome. You know, what is it like training with Buddy McGirt? You know, everybody kind of knows how he trained Sergey Kovalev and stuff. He's been on our show before, so we've talked to him and stuff like that. But like, you as being his fighter, what is it like training under him?
You know, it's a blessing to have Buddy McGirt in my corner. We've been working together since my fourth pro fight, so we've been at it for some time. I remember meeting Buddy. I didn't know who he was. I'd go to his gym and I'd spar his fighters. I think I was about 16 years old, and I was beating up on his pros, and I didn't know who he was. He would always be just talking, making jokes, and I was like, "Who is this guy?" And then my coach at the time was like, "Yo, that's Buddy McGirt. You don't know who that is?" I was like, "I have no clue." So then I looked him up. I started watching his fights, and I was like, "Wow, this guy, he really had it back in the day. He was a great fighter." So then from that day forward, I just picked his brain every single day. Every single day in the gym, I had a question for him. Anything I wanted to know about boxing, I was like, "Buddy, what do you think about this? How could I do this?" And just whatever, any question I had, and I just started leaning on him a little more. And then I signed with my manager, and he told me, he's like, "Look, I want you to start training with Buddy, and I think it'd be great for you." And I said, "I would love to do that," without hesitation. So we made the switch, and since my fourth pro fight, we've been at it. And, you know, it's a blessing to have him in my corner. He's a great man inside and out of the gym. He comes from a great family. Him and his family, they're great people. I love the McGirt family. And he's like a father figure to me, you know, with boxing, with business, with just life in general. I know he's got my back no matter what.
I just thought he's trained both guys. He trained Arturo Gatti and the Glendale Gatti.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
It's true, man. It's true. And then not only do you have an opponent, you know, Correa on Thursday, but it's also because a lot of fans, especially the hardcore boxing fans, they also look at the trainers too, especially when they're high profile trainers. Yeah. On Thursday, it's going to be Garcia versus McGirt as well. So, and people look at that stuff, you know, but it makes everything more intriguing. But, you know, kind of touching on this whole COVID thing again. We talked about the actual COVID testing, but kind of going back into something obviously you've experienced in terms of actual like drug testing, because there hasn't really been any drug testing because of the whole situation at hand with the whole COVID testing. Is that something that kind of concerns you as a professional fighter that, you know, your opponent, it's not that you're accusing anybody of anything, but like, you know, that there hasn't been really any consistent drug testing because of the whole COVID-19 situation?
Well, prior to the quarantine and the COVID, I had just signed up for the WBC clean boxing program. They told me I was going to have to do it once I get ranked in the top 10, but they said if you do it before you're ranked, they honor that, and they really respect that. So I went ahead and did it. I'm ranked 24 right now, so I went ahead and I signed up for the clean boxing program. And Vada actually showed up to my house, I think, last week. So I just got drug tested. I don't know about my opponent. I'm not sure what the situation is with him, if he's been drug tested, but I know Vegas, they go through their protocols before the fight, and if they suspect anything, they'll test you again after the fight. But you know, there's not much I can do. You know, if he's on something, he's on something. I got to just go in there and handle my business and just do my best and hopefully come on top.
Out of looking through your social media, you've had some high level sparring really in your pro career, and I saw you've been in there with Lomachenko. How was that?
Oh, that was great. I helped out Lomachenko when he was getting ready for the Rigondeaux fight, so I had to box southpaw, but it was a great experience. You know, even just being around him training, watching how they do it. You know, as soon as you walk in the gym, you know they're all about the business. No music playing, no one's there cracking jokes. They're there to get to work, and you feel the tension in there, and you just look at it. You're like, you know, that's that top level. You know, that's the reason why he's where he's at, because he takes it so seriously. And yeah, it was great work. It was, I always used to watch Lomachenko. You know, he's such an exciting fighter. So once I got the call, like, hey, you guys want to go box with Lomachenko? I said, of course. He said, only thing you got to do is box southpaw. I was like, all right, I'll make it happen. Let's do it.
Have you taken anything from that? Like you said, like no music, 100% switched on business. Have you taken anything from that into the way that you now train?
I'm not too strict on it. When it's time to get to work, it's time to get to work. But having Buddy McGirt in the gym, he's always cracking jokes. So we have fun in the gym, but when it's time to get to work, all jokes aside, and it's strictly business.
Who else have you sparred that maybe the fans don't know about? Besides, I mean, Lomachenko might be the most high profile person in the moment. But who else have you sparred?
When I was 15, I went to box with Abner Mares. I think when he first won his title. They didn't believe I was 15 at the time. They're like, this kid's 15. I was like, yeah. And they asked me to come back, but I was in high school and my mom said, no, you gotta go to school. I was like, mom, yeah. I missed school for a few days. She's like, oh, you better go to school. I was like, all right.
It's funny you touched on Abner Mares, because I know that he's been having a bit of a Twitter beef with Ryan Garcia, which is someone who's in and around your weight division. And somebody, when I knew I was trying to get you on the podcast, I was thinking, Ryan Garcia for you in the future, battle for Southern California?
That'd be great, you know. He's making his money right now. He's doing his thing. They're building him up. I think they're finally going to throw him a tough test. I think eventually once I grow into 130, I wouldn't have a problem going up to 135 to take that fight. I sparred with Ryan back when we were both amateurs. He's very talented. He's a talented kid, and I got a lot of respect for him. He works hard, you know, and he's in a good position. And as long as he stays focused, he'll keep making more money.
With your old school mentality about you'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere, you've got a stacked division with some big, big names. Over the next couple of years, what names would you like to see yourself in with?
Any of the top guys, you know. Shakur got a belt. If he doesn't move up and I'm in line for the title, I'd love to get that. We got Conlon. We got Dogbo. We got Magdaleno, who's the main event on my card. You know, Warrington, any of the top guys, you know. I know I'm in a position right now where I'm not ranked yet. Hopefully after this fight I can get, you know, maybe 15, 12 or 15 around there. And then I can start knocking on the door for those fights. You know, I got to get more eyes on me. I got to get my record up and get ranked to make the fights, you know, make these big money fights and make it worth everyone's while. But for me, you know, I know it's a business, but I want those fights, but I know it's going to be a few more fights until I can get those bigger fights.
Every single one of those, apart from Josh Warrington, is top rank. So, as they say, they're on the right side of the street for you.
It shouldn't be hard to make. I would agree to it as long as they agree to it. You know, the business should be very easy to negotiate and get done.
You know, Adam, you know, obviously, you expect to say yourself as the number one spot, but, you know, kind of taking you out of the equation, who would be like number two, or who would be the best person in your division that you think out of maybe all the world champions, or even if they're not world champions, just based on you as like with the eye test or anything, what do you think?
At featherweight, I would say Gary Russell is the best in the division. I think he's the champ. He's the number one champ in the division. He's been doing it for so long. He's got the most experience. He's got a little bit of everything. I think he could do it all. I would say Gary Russell for sure.
Have you ever sparred, you know, speaking of Gary Russell, you kind of popped into my mind. Obviously he gave the first world title shot to Jojo Diaz, who just won a world title at 130. You know, Jojo Diaz is pretty much around your weight class. I'm sure you'd be open to a fight with him, especially now that he has the IBF. You know, have you ever spoken to him or anything? And like, hey, you know, we can get him.
I've never met him, never seen him in the gym. No, I know I'm pretty close with his coach, Ben Lira. Ben used to train my father, so whenever I see Ben, it's all love. But yeah, I mean, that'd be a great fight as well. I would never turn down that fight either.
I mean, I think it doesn't Espinoza also represent him, Mike?
Yeah.
He does, right? I mean, you got beef with the Espinoza clan, so. They were like, well, you know, if you can get through JoJo, you can fight Valdez. I don't know. They're going to give you something like that, man. But
just take out Team Espinoza, Adam.
I know he's got a lot of fighters, and I'm sure he's got some guys in my weight class as well. So, I mean, it's nothing personal. It's all business. The Valdez fight, I feel like I deserve a rematch. Oscar told me after the fight he'd give me a rematch, and I know his people would protect him otherwise. So it is. Right.
Kind of going back to that, what did Top Rank, whether it's like Bob Arum or Goodman or Trampler or anybody in the Top Rank team, what did they talk to you when they talked to you after that fight? You know, obviously they congratulated you. They said, hey, you know, that was, you didn't lose. That was a great performance. Like, you know, what was that conversation like?
Yeah. The next day I got an email from Brad Goodman. He said, you know, Adam, I've been a fan since he started naming my early fights where I didn't even think people seen those fights. He's like, I've been a fan since you fought him. I've been watching you for years and you showed the world a little bit of what you got. And, he's like, I just want to let you know, 2020, the world will find out who Adam Lopez is. He's like, you did a hell of a job, and I have so much respect for you, and just be ready for this. It's going to be a big year for you. He gave me a lot of respect, and I appreciate that. And, he's really excited after that fight. He said people have been calling him, asking him, who's this kid? Who's this kid, Adam Lopez? And he said, don't worry, they're going to find out who you are very soon.
There's a big fight scheduled for September, hopefully. Two of your top rank stable mates, Lomachenko, who you touched on, you're a fan of, against Teofimo Lopez. How do you see that fight?
Experience against youth. I think that's a very exciting fight. Teofimo Lopez, I think he got something to prove. And he's very hungry right now. I think he got some pop, too. It's a almost 50-50 fight. I'm leaning towards Teofimo Lopez a little bit. I think he just got a chip on his shoulder, and he's hungry, and he's angry, and he wants to go in there and fight. But then you got Lomachenko, who got the experience, who shuts all that down. Even if you come with whatever game plan you got, he knows how to shut it down. It's a close to 50-50 fight. I would like to see Teofimo Lopez take it and start this new generation.
And yeah. Another fight that's supposed to be scheduled is somebody you said you sparred with and been in the ring with, Ryan Garcia, against Linares.
Hopefully.
I mean, that would be his first big fight, I would see, his toughest fight. The thing with Ryan is he can punch, man, as he showcased his last few fights. I mean, if he lands that left hook on Linares, I don't think he's going to be able to take it, but Leonardo's got the experience. It's kind of similar to the Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez fight. It's very similar. Leonardo's got the experience. He's going to have to just go out there and show the kid the ropes and, you know, muscle him around and make it tough for him, you know. But unless Ryan catches him early, it might be an early night. But I think if it goes to the later rounds, I think Leonardo's might stop him or beat him on the cards.
On the Top Rank, I think it was the Twitter page, I found it. They did a little poster review and, you know, kind of gave you a little bio. And I was surprised to see, and I hope I don't embarrass you, your favorite movie is Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah. Favorite movie. I love that movie.
So that's a real answer. That wasn't just...
Oh, yeah, no. That's, I watched that movie, like, all the time before my fights. I love that movie.
What made it your favorite movie? Was it just you watched it? Was it like one scene or?
No, it's just the meaning behind the movie. Have you guys seen the movie?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
So he's a rat, you know, he's a rat. He ain't supposed to be nobody. But the whole moral is they're saying it don't matter where you come from. It's who you are inside. And it's how you take advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you. You can be anybody you want. And I don't know, I just really relate to that because I came up the hard way in boxing, you know, and I'm trying to just take the best of my opportunities and just make something out of all this.
And the second part of that was something people don't know about Adam, is that you're into filmmaking. Is that something you'll think you'll go into afterwards, after boxing?
Yeah, I got a couple friends who are screenwriters, and he does a lot of the writing, but... We sit down and we bounce ideas off each other's heads, and It's definitely, you know, it's interesting. I like it. Definitely want to get involved in that, you know, maybe invest and help write and do whatever I can with my friends that, you know, I grew up with. And I would love for them to be successful as much as I'm being successful. So, you know, it's a give and take thing. I'm going to just help out all my people.
And the last part of the bio was 5 years from now, Adam sees himself 2 to 3 world titles in 2 to 3 weight classes and also a few pro fighters that you're training. So you're interested in training as well?
Yeah, I got a couple of amateur fighters that I'm training. I enjoy it. I like training kids. I like helping them. You know, boxing really helped me as a kid. It kept me on the straight and narrow path. And, you know, I guess you could say it saved me in a way. And I would love to give back and show these kids what I learned and, you know, teach them all the great tips I'm learning from Buddy and from all the other coaches I've learned. I just get a lot out of it, teaching people boxing.
So you said 2 to 3 weight classes, 2 to 3 world titles. We just had on the IBO president, Ed Levine, you know, and he was kind of trying to get our opinion on the IBO world title. As a fighter, what is your opinion on that? Because obviously you have the big four as such, the WBA, the WBO, WBC, and also the IBF.
Yeah, I mean, I just started hearing about the IBO, so it's, to me, it's fairly new. I think as it's around a little longer and more fighters start getting it, it'll get its recognition like every other belt. But yeah, I just started hearing about it. So, I mean, it's a title, you know, it's a world title. So it, no shame against it. You win that belt, you're a champ.
Adam, you said, you know, going back to how you said you wanted to get into training, you're training some amateurs at the moment. You know, obviously you're from the Southern California area, you know, greater LA, Glendale, LA County and stuff like that. Would you say, cause obviously like there's a lot of people who say like, oh, the hotbed of boxing is New York or the UK or something like that. You being from this area, would you agree? Like me and Mike, we agree that this is a hotbed of boxing, but would you say like, if you want to be a boxer,
the UK,
oh, shut up. You didn't say that before. Would you agree, like, to, you know, if you had any advice for any potential amateurs who might live, like, in the East Coast or Midwest or somewhere, like, would you advise them to say, you know what, like, if you really want to get serious and really want to get the best sparring and you know, the most out of your career, Southern California would be an ideal place to go?
I guess you got to say it depends where in Southern California. You got different gyms, you know, different style gyms. And I mean, there's a lot of fighters over here. There's a lot. For me, I don't think it matters where you're at. I mean, eventually when you come to a certain point, to a certain level, you might outgrow wherever you're at. But it's just how bad you want it inside. You know, you could come from a gym where there's no fighters there and you're just working hard every day. But California, Southern California, we definitely got a lot of fighters, a lot of amateurs. People travel all over the world to come train over here. You can definitely get some great sparring in California. It's a good spot. You know, I mean, I've been here my whole life. I haven't been able to go out and see any other, you know, any other place to train at. So I can't really say too much about it. I came up in Southern California. That's where I grew up.
As far as I know, I could be wrong, but I think you're the first person I've seen that have actually put on the BLM sign onto your shorts for this week's fight. Anyone else on the card that you know that's gonna they're supporting them?
I haven't seen nothing, but I guess we'll find out on Tuesday on the first few fights. Maybe somebody got it, but yeah, from what I've seen, they actually got it on pretty late. The person who's made my shorts said, okay, we could put this on. And she was about to ship it to me. I was like, yeah, put the patch on. I'll get it whenever it's ready. Go ahead. I would like to represent Black Lives Matter.
And before we kind of let you go, we've kind of held you for a while now. I assume the Oscar Valdez fight was kind of your first big paycheck. What did you treat yourself to?
Not much. Prior to that fight, I had a bad falling out with my former manager. I didn't have a spot to stay. I didn't have a car. I had about like $100 in my pocket. I was pretty broke about a month before the fight. So then I scrambled for a new manager. I signed with the new manager 3 weeks before the fight. They put some money in my pocket. They got me through till the fight. And then I had the big payday. So I went home, you know, I was, I guess you could say almost homeless. I was back at my mom's house, sleeping on the couch. So I started from scratch. I had to go get a car, got an apartment. You know, I had nothing. So the money that I had, I was like, yo, I got to make this last. I'm not going to be like these fighters going out, spending it on jewelry and this and that. I mean, I know I still got to pay taxes on it. I got to pay these people, this people. I was like, this money, it might be a lot, but it's not going to last very long. So I still got the majority of it. I still got enough to pay my taxes. It's kept, it's saved. Some of it's invested. You know, I'm trying to live just a simple lifestyle until I can make money where I have a few different incomes coming in. So I'm just gonna keep making these investments and being smart with my money.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great to hear, man. That's great to hear, especially with the story sometimes we hear of athletes, especially after retirement. You know, it's unfortunate with the money situations like that. So that's great to hear as us, as boxing fans, and as media members. But, you know, obviously Adam Lopez fights this Thursday on the Top Rank card, the second one in this post-COVID world that we're living in. you guys fighting at the MGM in Vegas? Is it the MGM?
Yeah, it's at the MGM in the convention center.
Right. Okay. Great. Great. So, and then do you know if your card on Thursday is it, have they announced if it's on ESPN, ESPN Plus, or
both cards will be on ESPN.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Yeah. That's really good for you too. That's a lot more exposure. Awesome. Awesome. And then, you know, before we let you go here, you know, fighting, there's obviously not going to be a crowd there. How important do you think it is, especially you as a professional fighter? Cause there's some fighters who take the adrenaline from the crowd and they use that. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I try to play it through my head and see how it's going to be, but I guess I'll find out when we get out there. But it's going to be a little weird at first, you know. It's going to be quiet, but I think once the shots start flying, fight mode will kick in. We'll get down to business. You know, we're both in there. We're hungry for this spot, so. I think once the fight gets going, we both get warmed up, it'll just be like a regular fight. Just we'll be able to hear every single shot landing.
With that big ESPN audience, are you going to go for a knockout?
I'm going to just take it as it goes. If I hurt him, I'll get him out. If not, I'm going to just keep boxing him and keep picking my shots and breaking him down.
I got one more that popped into my question before we let you go here. Obviously, earlier we called you the Glendale Gotti. Evan Korn of Top Rank gave you that little moniker on Twitter earlier this week. Obviously, people know Artur Gotti as a legend in the sport. And obviously, when people think of Artur Gotti, they think of Gotti Ward, Mickey Ward, his wars that he had with Ward. You know, just like as a fantasy, who would, if you had to pick any fighter right now, who could be your Mickey Ward in like a trilogy of fights or something like that? Who would it be? Maybe Valdez?
I would love to run that back. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure once we run that back, I beat him, we're going to have to do it again. So that would be a great trilogy. You know, I think the fans would love it. I don't know how many more fights Oscar has, and that would be some good paydays for him. You know, people want to see it. That's not a bad idea.
I just thought so. Does the MGM, have you made sure they have Ratatouille on the TV, or is it on Netflix?
I believe it's on Netflix.
We'll have to make sure. You need to watch it.
I've watched it already before I came, just in case.
But, you know, we appreciate your time, Adam. You know, right before we let you go ahead and plug your social media, anything, you know, your amateur fighters. I know they're still coming up, young kids, but, you know, anything you want to plug, go for it before we let you go.
Yeah, my Instagram is Blue Nose Lopez. You can follow me there. I keep most of my updates, and you can keep up with me right there on Instagram, Blue Nose Lopez. I have a Twitter, Adam_B_Lopez. Shout out to all my sparring partners for this camp, Matias Radcliffe, Aleem, Miguel Canteras, Joey Bundy. You guys really helped me out for this camp. You know, it was late notice, and you guys were there whenever I needed you. Really appreciate it. Really got me ready for this fight.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, like we said, we appreciate it. Appreciate your time. We know you're quarantined right there, and hopefully you're this latest test you just took, I believe you said you took it yesterday or earlier today. Hopefully everything comes back good. Yeah. And yeah, you get to proceed with the fight this Thursday on ESPN. Because, I mean, I think everybody pretty much knows it's a given that the audience is going to be a little bigger in terms of the television audience on ESPN because people are just clamoring for sports. So, definitely. You know, we wish you the best of luck on Thursday. And, you know, obviously you're welcome back anytime.
If they call it off again, just don't fight him. That's the third time.
Yeah, if it don't work this time, I have to move on to another opponent.
All right, Adam. Well, take care and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Take care. Back-to-back interviews today, huh, Mike? Adam Levine and – not Adam Levine, Ed Levine. Sorry, Adam Levine's the freaking guy, the singer from Maroon 5. It's been a long day, man. It's been a long day. But, you know, once again, before we wrap up here, thanks again to Ed Levine of the IBO, which is the episode right before this or after this. I don't know how we're going to upload this. But it's up there if you guys want to listen to it. And then, obviously, Adam Lopez, who fights this Thursday on the Top Rank on ESPN card. Boxing is back, Mike. What do you got to say about that?
Good to see it back. I'm kind of – I didn't think they would, but all that talk of you know, they're going to have to make good fights because they don't have the time and the money just to put people in there just for gimmies, you know, like Shakur Stevenson fighting. I think he's something ridiculous, like 14-1 on to win that fight. Adam Lopez, who we just spoke to, his fight, you know, is more of a 50-50, I would say. I would still say Adam's probably going to go in his favorite. I enjoyed the interview. I thought Adam spoke really well. Seems very mature, seems to know what he wants, you know, in his career and how he's going to get there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the kid, man. And like he said, the Valdez fight put him on the map last year, especially when he knocked him down. And, yeah. You know, he gave a good performance. So, you know, hopefully he keeps getting wins and keeps raising his stock. You know, it's guys like that that you want to see succeed, man.
Yeah, because it's few and far between where there's a fighter loses the fight, but the stock rises.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rare. That's rare. So, and sometimes sometimes that's actually the better, in a weird way. That's actually the better outcome, you know, because then you kind of people look at you like as the underdog, more of the underdog, that you still have that talent. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I loved his old school mentality. You know, he'll fight anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. You know, that's what you want. You know, if you're gonna have, you know, 25, 30 fights and then retire, you might as well make as many of those as you can, big fights, big paydays, instead of, you know, just taking gimmies until you get to like 25-0 and you've never really fought anybody. So, and I think he's got a good head on his shoulders, good training with Buddy McGirt. So hopefully, fingers crossed, he goes far.
Hopefully. But as we wrap up here, Mike, go ahead and tell the listeners once again where they can find us and follow us.
At The Last Round 12 on Twitter and Instagram, all good podcast networks, and also at the Boxing Social YouTube page.
Sweet. So once again, thanks to our guests this week, IBO President Ed Levine, got it right this time, and Adam Blue Nose Glendale Gotti Lopez, who fights this Thursday on the Top Rank on ESPN card. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.